All right, turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4. And if you'd like to put a marker there and turn to Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. So two passages we're going to look at as well as some others. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, as well as Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. As the Lord continues to lead in this, I plan to bring a series of four messages on prayer in the next few prayer meetings. I've entitled this series, When God Says No. And I believe these short studies on the prayers of people in the Bible will teach us some needed lessons on prayer. This evening's study will cover when God says no to a prayer for death. First of all, notice with me Elijah's prayer for death in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4. Without getting into all the background of what was going on in Elijah's life, he was being pursued by Queen Jezebel, who, as you know, was a very bad queen, and she was out to kill him. And in verse 4 of 1 Kings chapter 19, we read this, "But he himself," speaking of Elijah, "went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's.'" So the first question I asked, and I hope that you're asking too, is why did Elijah ask God to take his life? I mean, Jezebel was glad to do the favor for him. You know, she was intent on taking his life, but he fled and then asked God to take his life. Well, from the context of the preceding verses, we find that Elijah had recently come through a literal mountaintop experience. Anybody tell me what mountain that was? Quit Googling. Say it louder, Sheku.
Carmel.
There you go. Mount Carmel.
Yes.
Or French Carmel. Okay? So that was Mount Carmel. And what a great victory he had there. And so he had the great victory over the prophets of Baal. And great emotional experiences always tend to drain us. How many have realized that? Okay? Oh, boy, nobody has realized that. Okay, Brenda does. Okay. Great emotional experiences always tend to drain us. Okay, just put it down, write it down, and next time you have a great emotional experience, now you'll know why you feel drained afterwards. Even good ones, okay? Even good emotional experiences. And especially good ones, because you're not expecting the down after the high, all right? So this is why it's easier to get a down after an up, and the higher the up, the lower the down is likely to be. Everybody catch that? Everybody understand that? Okay? Then we also notice that Elijah had apparently been running on very little food or sleep. Now, women, they can do it, no problem, right? But men, oh, you know, give them food, and boy, they're in trouble, right? Women, you agree with me, right? You can just go for days without food. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm just kidding. I think ladies need food too. Okay. So here he was running on very little food or sleep, and that has a tendency to drain your energy and therefore set you up for discouragement and possibly even depression. When you're physically and emotionally drained at the same time, you will find it harder to think straight. And that's what was happening here to Elijah. Now that we see why Elijah asked God to take his life, why did God say no to his request? Well, first of all, because God knew Elijah wasn't thinking straight. And he knew exactly what Elijah needed the most right now. What was that? Food and sleep, okay? Not answering a faulty prayer. Aren't you glad that God doesn't answer all our prayers? Aren't you glad he says no to some of our prayers?
Okay. Yep.
Or else I would be dead by now, okay? Just to be honest with you. In fact, I never would have met Brenda because I'd have been dead as a teenager. So anyway, okay. But of course, the main reason God did not answer this prayer was because it definitely was not in line with God's will and purpose. God still had more work for Elijah to do. What's interesting to note here is that God never intended for Elijah to die at all. He was caught up to heaven in a whirlwind. It's always better to opt for God's will, not ours. Would you turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings? You're in 1 Kings, so why don't you turn a little further to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." He said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." As they were going along and talking, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, which separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind to heaven. Wow. What an amazing event. So I trust we have learned from God's refusal to answer Elijah's request to die. Secondly, notice with me Jonah's prayer for death. So I hope you have your place marked for Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." Why did Jonah ask God to take his life? Well, from the context of the preceding verses and chapters, we find that Jonah did not want the Assyrians, specifically the Ninevites, to be spared God's judgment. By the way, keep in mind, if you read the book of Jonah, you may not be aware of the historical fact that the Ninevites were horrendously wicked and horrendously cruel. And it would turn your stomach to hear of the things that they would do to their captives. So, you know, why did Jonah want the Assyrians to experience God's judgment? Well, because they deserved it. But Jonah did not want the Assyrians to be spared God's judgment. In fact, Jonah had run the exact opposite direction when God commanded him to go to Nineveh to preach to them. Jonah actually became angry when the Ninevites repented. So turn to Jonah chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 10 through chapter 4, verse 2. So Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. Jonah 3, verse 10. "When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it." Then chapter 4, verse 1, "But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, 'Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity.'" Wow, did you just hear what Jonah prayed to God? I knew you were good, God, and you were compassionate, you're gracious. I didn't want to come here because I knew you would probably give them mercy. Wow. Okay. So we see basically Jonah wanted to die because of anger and thwarted wishes. He did not want to stick around to see God's grace demonstrated to the wicked nation that had been so cruel to Israel and to other nations. Notice as well that physical discomfort, in Jonah's case here, the removal of the shade of the plant, you'd have to read the whole book of Jonah to get all of these facts here. I'm just trying to throw them at you to get an idea of what else was happening. So God had sent him a plant to offer shade over him because it was so hot. And then God removed the plant. It withered. And then, wow, talk about Sunburn City. And so Jonah was very uncomfortable physically. When physical discomfort happens, it can bring out wrong emotions like anger and wrong thinking. So have you noticed what things bring about wrong thinking? Okay, lack of food, lack of sleep, physical discomfort, even pain, chronic pain especially. Well, Jonah chapter 4, if you're there in Jonah chapter 4, verse 6. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head, to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. When the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, "Death is better to me than life." Let's stop here for a minute and just make sure we understand some things. The things that God did here, does this sound like it was cruel to Jonah? On the surface, be careful, because God always does what is right. Why was God doing this? For an ultimate greater good purpose. So does God bring difficult things into our life? Yes. Nod your head. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Does God bring difficult things into our life? Yes.
Yep.
Does he do it because he just wants to be nasty?
No.
No. God is good. God is love. And so everything he does, everything he brings into our lives has an ultimate good purpose. Do you remember the verse that says, "And we know that God works all things together for good to those who love God." Okay? So keep that in mind. God did this for an ultimate good purpose in Jonah's life. So keeping all this in mind, why did God say no to Jonah's repeated request to die? Well, first of all, because God knew that Jonah's reasons for his request were self-centered and ungodly. But of course, the main reason God did not answer this prayer was because it definitely was not in line with God's will and purpose. God has an appointed time for each of us to die, and God still had more work for Jonah to do. So what can we learn from these two prophets' request to die and God's answer of no? Well, the first lesson would be to be careful what you ask for. Check your motives and your reasons for your request. You may find that your reasons are unworthy of a child of God, and that your motives do not stem from a desire to glorify God in the answer. The second wonderful lesson here is God's patience and grace with his children. What a blessing that he does not answer yes to every request we make to him. I can personally testify to this. When I was a teenager, there was more than one time that I actually prayed and asked God to take me home early. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but maybe some of you have done that too. I don't know. Am I the only one here like that? Anyway, I would have missed out on seeing what God had planned for me, the work he had planned for me, the wonderful wife he had planned for me, and the souls that he has given me the privilege of leading to him. I would have missed out on all that. I would have missed out on all the incredible joy of loving and serving the Lord with my wonderful wife all these years. Think about your asking God for things. Be careful. Check your motives. Check your reasons. Make sure that your motive is so that God will be glorified. What a blessing to see that God doesn't answer yes to everything we ask. God is so good.